turning our Bibles to Mark chapter number 2. We're on lesson number 11. I'm just numbering these as we go along, and I try to mention it every week just for Sister Julie's sake, if nobody else, where she puts it on the website, and I appreciate her doing that. And I don't always mention it, but I have a lot of people tell me all the time. They listen to the radio broadcast. I got a text message last week from a gentleman up in Virginia. He listens faithfully. I went, where was it the other day? Seen somebody. The singing last Friday night. And there was several people there. That was over in Bristol or Kingsport. And there were several people over there told me they listened and that they appreciated the radio broadcast, both of them, and the blessings of liberty. So I wanted to pass that along. But I didn't know this, but I learned last Friday night that the owner of WZAP passed away. And so we really need to pray for that radio station. That is a good station. And they've been faithful to get the gospel out. There's a lot of good preachers on there. But Brother Morrison, he was the only one in his family. All his family lives off somewhere else, and they don't know if they're interested in it or what. So there's just a lot that's up in the air. But for right now, they're continuing on just doing what they were doing. But let's really make that a matter of prayer that we'd pray for WZAP, the Lord's will be done there. So I should have mentioned that before, but remember them in your prayers. And they didn't really even, I think they made an announcement that he had passed away on the day off, but Brother Glenn, the main announcer over there, he said that's what Brother Morrison wanted. He didn't want a big deal made out of it. He had had cancer and he knew he was going to die. And he said, don't waste time on it. That's what he said. And so they didn't just mention it and went on. So, all right. Mark chapter 2, if you found your place there, we're going to read beginning in verse number 13 down through verse number 17. I was trying to decide earlier today about how far we might get down through there. I think verse 17 would be a good place to stop. Verse 13 said, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And if you have a Scofield Bible, the heading is the call of Levi, and then in parentheses it's got Matthew. And so this Matthew, or Levi, is the human author of the gospel book called Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 says this, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom." And it's the same details, same passage of Scripture, but this Matthew, Levi, as he's called here in the book of Mark, you know, it's not unusual for us to find people in the Bible with multiple names. There's a lot of people in the Bible that are known by at least two names, some maybe even more. I don't have a list, but just some I've thought of off the top of my head. Simon Peter, most everybody knows about Simon Peter. John Mark, we studied about him when we began in the book of Mark. Mary Magdalene and Matthew Levi here. in the book of Mark. And some people would say, well, that's contradictory. People say that sometimes. There's contradictions in the Bible. All these different people doing all these different things, and it doesn't make any sense. But some things have to be studied out. If you didn't know there was more than one Mary, it would be, you would think there's, you know, that doesn't make any sense. How can that be? There's several ladies named Mary in the Bible. But actually, the names in the Bible, they are supportive of the Scripture. They're not contradictory, because the Scripture is just like life. Just like we have many people that have multiple names. Sometimes you just got to dig in and figure out who's who and who belongs to who. And, you know, my grandpa, his name was James, but a lot of people called him Jim, and I never understood that. Why they call him Jim? When I was in the military, of course, my first name's Robert. I had a sergeant over there started calling me Bob. I thought, why are you calling me Bob? My name's not, but people are like that. And so Bob's short for Robert. And then you have people in real life. In this church, we have several men named Robert. And then we have some Robertsons. So that, you know, if you didn't know, that would be confusing. And we have multiple people that have the same name. We've got Karens and Marys and Jacksons and Davids. And I mean, we could go on and on. So it's just like life. Just like in life, you have people that have all these different names. In the Bible, you have the very same thing. Here's the blessing that I get out of that. The Lord knows all of us. We might get confused, but the Lord doesn't get confused about which David that needs some help, or which one. But here we see the Lord intervening in the life of Matthew Levi. I believe his first name would have been Matthew. His last name would have been Levi, or maybe they didn't go first and last, but he was known by Levi as well. Verse number 13, we'll just start there. It said, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. Now, you remember all the activity up to this point. There's been a lot of things going on surrounding the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark chapter 1, verse number 28 says this, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So there's been a lot of talk. There's been a lot of knowledge concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and these miracles which he's performed. Now, Kim and Abigail have made me shy about saying miracle. Miracle, miracle, however you want to say it, you know what I'm talking about. He performed miracles. Is that right? Okay. They're making fun of me. Like they're from the big city or something. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's performing all these marvelous supernatural things. He's healed the leper. He's healed many people from their diseases that they had. The palsied man, I mean, and verse 45, chapter 1, verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it. This is the leper. And the leper's healed. He goes out and begins to publish it and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. There's nowhere that the Lord could go to get away. His fame was spread abroad. So I believe it would be safe to say that Matthew had heard, probably even personally, the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this has been pressing upon his conscience and upon his spirit that this Jesus really was the Messiah. He had no doubt heard about him. Here we find that the Lord comes along and calls Levi to follow him. Verse number 14. I'm going to point out some things there because I'm telling you, this happened quickly. So I believe he'd probably heard about the Lord Jesus. Verse 14 said, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Now, there's some things I want to point out in verse number 14. That we could dwell on this, and it's a blessing, but the Lord saw Levi first. The Lord sees us first. And the Lord seeing and the Lord calling causes us to come unto him. But the Lord is the primary mover here in the meeting of Levi and the Lord Jesus. But it says there in verse 14, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi." I'll say this a little bit about Levi. And then it says, "Sitting at the receipt of custom." I want to point out a little bit about that. And then in verse number 16, it said, "When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners." We're going to talk about what it meant that Levi was a publican. So just to point out some things about Levi. Number one, there's his name. Now, we know Matthew. You know, we say Simon Peter or John Mark, but we don't say Matthew Levi. We just say Matthew. Everybody knows who you're talking about. When you talk about Matthew, if you started calling or referring him to Levi, it'd probably mess some people up. Well, who are you talking about there? But this man, his name was Levi. Levi is significant. Levi of the tribe of Levi. Levi of the Levites. Levi of the book of Leviticus. You study this out in the Old Testament, the sons of Levi, the priests. It was the Levites that God gave the priesthood and the responsibility concerning these spiritual things to. Here's a man, Matthew Levi, whose ancestors are the spiritual heirs of the priesthood of Israel. That is supposed to be what his family is consumed with. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But here's Levi. The Levites, their inheritance, if you study it out in the Old Testament and when they went in and conquered Canaan land and they divided up all the land among all the different tribes, you find out that the tribe of Levi, they did not receive a land inheritance. Their inheritance, the Bible says, was the Lord. They were to be the caretakers of the most important spiritual things in the land of Israel. That was their inheritance. Matthew Levi. So Levi was a disappointment, spiritually speaking. Then it says that he saw him sitting at the receipt of custom. That means that he was... In our day and time, he worked for the IRS and the TSA both. He was a customs officer. I mean, how lower can you get in society? But he was a tax collector. That's what that means, that he saw him sitting at the seat of custom. And as I was studying about this, the seat of custom, or the receipt of custom is what it actually says. But what the fishermen would do when they would come in from fishing, they would come back, and as soon as they dock and they begin to haul their catch in, their living, and come in and they got to clean the fish and mend the nets and all of those things. And boy, they've worked hard. You think about this. They have toiled, they have labored, sometimes maybe for days on end, all day, and then stay up all night. And they've had a stinky, smelly, dangerous work, and it's not been easy, the kind of work that they're in. And they come back, and they maybe would like to be doing something else, but they have to do this to pay the bills. I mean, there's mouths to feed, and there's rent to pay and all the things that you have to deal with in life. So here they are. They come back. They come to shore. They're bringing their haul in, the fruit of their labor. And before they can go and buy one loaf of bread, before they can go out and buy one bottle of medicine, before they can go to the grocery store, before they can buy an article of clothing, before they can take some money home to their wife, you know who's sitting there grinning? Levi. And all he's been doing is sitting around taking other people's money. And he's not, but that's a bitter pill to swallow. When I imagine it in my mind, I just imagine he's probably sitting there. And when he grins and says, "Did you boys get a good catch? Did you got something? You know, I'm getting mine first." He's probably grinning. He's probably got a gold tooth right there. I'm telling you, that's hard to deal with. And it's no easier to deal with today. Some people do nothing, but they've got first dibs on all your hard work, all your labor. So that's how Levi was. And Levi was not only a disappointment spiritually speaking, but Levi was a disappointment socially speaking, because people hated the tax collector. They hated what they were doing. And the Bible says also, we learn from this passage of Scripture, that he was a publican. Being a publican was a, what it means this, he worked for the Roman government as a tax collector. That's what the publicans did. And the publicans and the sinners are put in the same class by the scribes and the Pharisees. So he works for the Roman government, and that's what he did. Now, the publicans were considered the lowest of the low. It's bad enough that the Jews were ruled over by the Romans. The Romans were Gentiles. They were considered unclean, and that's bad. But what makes it worse is that these Jews, these relation, our own nation, our own blood, they for money go and work for the Roman government. So they were the lowest of the low. And they were looked down upon because they were considered traitors for working for Rome. And many times they used their position for their own profit, pad their own pockets. You know about Zacchaeus and The account over there in the Bible. So Levi was a disappointment for the side he was on. It's pretty disappointing. Spiritually, socially, the side that he was on. But you got to look what it says in verse number 14. In spite of all of that, now the common Jew might have thought to themselves, "Old Levi." Maybe even there's some mockery in using his name. "Old Levi, he's supposed to be a preacher. He's supposed to be more spiritual than anybody else. But there's old Levi taking our money, working for Rome. He's not doing nothing. He's probably stealing some on the side." But look what the Bible says in verse 14. "But as he passed by," that's the Lord Jesus, "he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, 'Follow me.'" Now, when the Lord saw Levi, he didn't see a disappointment. He saw a disciple. He saw somebody that had great potential. Somebody that society would cast aside and say, "You know, I don't even know if Levi could be saved. He's the lowest of the low. Tax collector. Works for Rome." All these things. But the Lord saw potential. And aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't see things like man sees things? See, you and I might not look like much, or may not turn out like much once upon a time, but aren't you glad the Lord saw something else in you and in me? And I was thinking about, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, I'd probably be the biggest liberal that there ever was. And you probably would be too. You wouldn't be sitting here tonight listening to the preaching of the Word of God thinking that's good. You might be here out here on the outside saying, I don't see what people see in that. I'd rather be involved in something else. I'd rather be doing something else. But praise the Lord doesn't look at us like we look at us, but he looked at Levi and he said unto him, follow me. And boy, I like this. Look what the Bible said. And he arose and followed him. That's immediate transformation in the life of Levi. And you talk about a picture of the grace of God. That is a beautiful picture of the grace of God. The grace of God, when it works in a person's life, the grace of God doesn't beat you over the head. The grace of God doesn't get you in a headlock and wrestle you down to the ground and make you cry, uncle. The grace of God doesn't beat you or threaten you into submission. Now, if you've ever been under old-time Holy Ghost conviction where the Lord was working on you, you may have thought that you were going to die. That's the grace of God working in your life. But what a blessed day of sweet surrender. You say, I thought I was going to die. I thought the Lord was going to kill me. But you know what? When you came to the place where you said, I surrender, you know, we sing that song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. That's a blessed day. That's a wonderful day. That's the day the burden rolls off. That's the day you say, praise the Lord. Great burden has gone off of my soul. And so, you talk about a change in a man's life. I mean, he's headed in one direction, and just in a meeting there, in a moment there, he's forsook all that, and he's following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And he followed him. Now, verse number 15. And wouldn't it be good if it could be said about us that when we got saved by the grace of God, we immediately began to follow him. Verse number 15, the Bible said, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house. Now, that's talking about Matthew's house. And the reason we know that is because that's what it tells us in the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 29, the Bible said, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. So Levi's the one that made the great feast. It says in verse number 15, and it came to pass that is Jesus sat at meat in his house, that's Matthew or Levi's house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. You know, as soon as Levi got saved, he becomes concerned about those around him. Now that is good sign, we don't go by signs, but that is a good indication that somebody's really got saved by the grace of God. If you get saved, you're going to get concerned about, immediately you'll be concerned about those that are around you. If you ever have an encounter with the grace of God and the Lord saves you, and you begin to look around and say, well, what about my friend? He's in the same shape as I am. What about my boss? What about these people that I work with? They're just like I was. What do you mean I was? Something different about you? Yeah, the grace of God. God saved me. I know they're not saved. We've all been doing the same thing, going down the same road, thinking the same way, acting the same way, doing the same way, but the grace of God comes in, and now you're concerned about them. You want to see them saved. You want to witness to them. You want to see them come to know the Lord. If a person is truly saved by God's grace, they'll begin to think about others. You want to tell somebody. You want to witness to somebody that you work with. That's a good indication that a person's really been saved. Now, we can say this about Levi or Matthew. He was not a nominal Christian. I don't know how many times I've heard that lately. Somebody talk about, well, they're nominal. You know, I looked up what that word nominal means. Nominal means this. It means existing in name only. It means a nominal difference is a difference in name and not in reality. The grace of God ought to change us. We're living in a day and time in America where nominal Christianity, that's just about how the majority, or that is, that's how the majority is. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I asked somebody that one time, and I know I've told you this, but it come to mind, I'm going to tell you again. I said, you go to church, who's your pastor? Well, what is his name? They didn't know. I hope y'all know my name. Get a track. Put it, write it on something you got with you. How embarrassing would that be? Oh, you go to church, you don't even know your pastor's name. Oh, but they're Christian. If they died, they'd go to heaven. But you're just as likely to see him at the bar, the tattoo parlor, or at, you know, talking any old way, hearing any old thing. Oh, but they're all Christians. They're all going, you know, at their funeral, they all talk about they've went to heaven. There's no such thing in the Bible as being a nominal Christian. Either we're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ or we're not. The grace of God ought to change us. It ought to make us something different from what we were before. Now, you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and you're going to sin, and I'm going to sin, and we're going to, but you ought to be different. Levi was different after he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I was talking about Levi, and he's called Levi in Mark, and he's called Levi in Luke. But I got to studying about this. He never refers to himself as Levi. He calls himself Matthew. See, when we meet Levi here in Mark and in the book of Luke, he's lost. He's not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Matthew pens his own letter down, he doesn't say Levi. He says Matthew. I'm different than I was before. Maybe they had mocked him because of his lineage and his name and things, but Matthew, he refers to himself differently. You ought to see and recognize that you're different from what you were before you met the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's not nominal about this. He's not one of these, did you hear Levi got saved? Yeah, he told me down at the bar the other night. I mean, this is epidemic in the day and time in which we live that church people drink alcohol. I was talking to somebody the other day and they had invited me to go somewhere and I said, nah. I said, I probably won't be there. I won't be there. And they said to me, they said, don't you drink at all? I said, no. I didn't say it holier than thou, but people are amazed if you don't participate. If you don't go along. We ought to be different. We ought to be different than the world. Not holier than thou. And I didn't make them feel bad about it, but I told them in no uncertain terms, no, not a bit. No, I don't drink. There ought to be a difference in our lives, in our talk, in our actions. I mean, you can just go down the list there. Verse 15, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. So we have this great, large gathering together at Matthew's house. And verse number 16 says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? So the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious crowd, they couldn't understand this. How is it that he's eating and drinking with? And that doesn't mean he was drinking alcohol. He was just having a meal with them. He was there. He was fellowshipping with them. He was in the same house with them. He had something to do with them. And when we get saved, our lives ought to change. And our friends will change. And where we go is going to change. And what we do, everything in our life is going to change when you get saved by the grace of God. But if we're not careful, we will become isolated from the very people that the Lord left us here to reach. You know, I have way more Christian friends, the people I do things with, the places I go. What do? I go to church a lot. But if we're not careful, we'll get to the place where we're not around many lost people. But we're supposed to reach the lost. And if we cut ourselves off from lost people, how are we going to reach lost people? And we're not to go in and do the same, and that's not what they were doing. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." That just means don't be like the lost world. Don't act like them. Don't talk with like them. Don't get involved in the sinful things that they are involved in. But it does not say don't have anything to do with them. I think sometimes Christians make a mistake in their relationships, and they get to the place where they think, well, I can't have anything to do with these lost people. Look, if you're saved, you're still going to have family and friends and co-workers, and they're going to act like lost people act. Neighbors, they're going to cuss and drink and swear and make dirty jokes, and they're going to do all of those things. And when basketball and football season rolls around, they're going to gamble on it, and they're going to watch TV. I had a missionary friend years ago, and he caused the biggest stink you ever saw in his family because he'd quit watching TV, but his in-laws was still watching TV, and he's fussing about going over there and them watching TV. Well, my goodness, what do you expect? What do you expect? You can't cut people off just because they don't act perfect like you do. If you think you act perfect, you're probably in this other category down here that we're going to get to. But what are we supposed to do with people like that? Try to win them to the Lord. Witness to them. Be light. Be salt. In their lives, they're lost. They need a gospel witness. They need a Christian that'll be faithful and follow the Lord Jesus and introduce. And so when Levi followed the Lord, he wanted these people that he worked with and was around, he wanted them to meet Jesus too. Now, the meeting was on Levi's terms. He said, "We'll have this at my house." And he had the feast. Verse 17, the Bible says, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them." Now, the "unto them" is the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 16. And the question that they had asked, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't want the Lord Jesus. They were righteous in and of their own selves. And we know what the Bible says about that. Romans 3:10, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Now, they needed the Lord too. But they didn't want the Lord. And they didn't want anybody else to have him either. That's the anti-missionary spirit of the religious world. I've seen this happen many, many times over the years. Somebody gets saved by the grace of God. They start coming to church. They start, like Levi, following the Lord Jesus. They start to get excited about the things of God. And at first, their family may be off from here, maybe not. But their family, they're so happy, they're so excited, they're so glad. They'll come to the baptism, they'll come to vacation, Bible school, commencement, things like that. But the closer this newly saved family gets to the Lord, the religious relationship, they get to the point, well, now that's just going overboard a little too much. That's how some people are. They're religious. They don't really want the Lord, and they don't want nobody else to be excited about it either, because it condemns them. And that's how the scribes and the Pharisees were. But they needed the Lord the same as the publicans and the sinners did. There's two crowds here that needs the Lord, that needed to be exposed to the presence and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The publicans and the sinners needed the Lord. But you know what? The scribes and the Pharisees needed the Lord too. Now there are some people that are harder to witness to than others. I believe even the Lord Jesus would testify to that fact, and he does in verse number 17. He's talking here to the scribes and the Pharisees when he saith unto him, they that are whole, he's talking about the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, he was letting them know that they were seeing themselves as whole and righteous, and they didn't need the Lord. But he said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's a reason why Rock of Ages prison ministry, they'll have over a year's time, they will have thousands of professions of faith. Say, not all of them are real. Well, a whole bunch of them are. Not all of ours are real either sometimes. So we'll not throw rocks at that. I'm glad for anybody that'll profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope they're all real. Maybe it's not our call. Now they'll have thousands of professions of faith. Or you go to a country like the Philippines or other places, they're having great success. Like where I was a missionary out west among the Mormon people, very, very few. And the hardest thing in witnessing among the Mormons, in fact, after a while, I just seen better try to get the sinners that are there. If we can find some sinners, we might make some headway. But the hardest thing about witnessing among the Mormons was that they're such good people, and they knew they were good people. It is really hard to witness to somebody that thinks that they're good enough for the Lord, they're good enough for heaven, they're doing good works, good deeds, good this, good that. They all need the Lord the same. But some people, it's really hard for them to see how badly that they need reaching. But that's one thing I get out of this passage of Scripture, and we might overlook it if we're not careful, but both these groups need reaching. And Levi is a good case study. We might say that God can reach a religious, worldly, well-off person like Levi. And he did. He saw a disciple in him, and of course, Levi, Matthew, in turn, reached many, many others. What a blessing that is. Well, don't give up on your publicans and your sinners. And don't even give up on the religious ones either, because they need the Lord too. All right, I'm going to stop right there. And these other things we could get into there, but we'll save till next time. Verse 18 going on down through verse number 20. I've been reading the book of Mark this week, just in my Bible reading. And, boy, there's a lot of good preaching in the book of Mark. I mean, just page after page. I think to myself, boy, I can't wait till we get there. I can't wait till we get there. I've been enjoying it. I hope you're getting something out of it as well. Anybody?